Chapter 9. Quantum Buddha Nature. Quantum entities don't have or possess intrinsic properties. Jonathan Alday, author of Quantum Reality, Theory and Philosophy, writes, "Our whole manner of speech rather naturally makes us think that there is some stuff or substance on which properties can, in a sense, be glued. It encourages us to imagine taking a particle and removing its properties one by one until we are left with a featureless thing devoid of properties, made from the essential material that had the properties in the first place. Now, it seems, experimental science has come along and shown that, at least at the quantum level, the objects we study have no substance to them independent of their properties. When we remove the last property and the quantum entity dissolves into itself, there is nothing left, no thing that has the properties. The quantum field is empty of substance, and yet this substanceless substance appears to be what everything that appears to be substantial is made of. This brings to mind the Buddhist practice of inquiring into the mind so as to discover who the thinker of our thoughts is. In this contemplation, the practitioner discovers, through their own empirical experience, that no matter how long they look, they cannot find the thinker anywhere at all. Many people ignore the profundity of what not being able to find the thinker is revealing to us. Other people simply try harder, with as much success as trying to catch an ever-receding rainbow, as they double up their efforts to grasp the ungraspable. The Buddha would point out that our inability to find the thinker is extremely significant in that it puts us face to face with the empty essence of our own mind. We are simply invited to recognize that there is nothing to recognize. Our true and most essential nature has no features whatsoever and is empty of all formal attributes. This is precisely analogous to the invisible and indivisible plenum of space, the all-pervading quantum field of pure potential out of which all forms and structures of the material universe arise. This is why the Buddha, who was a true empiricist, counseled his followers to not take his word for it, but be skeptical and do the experiment and look within for themselves. In Buddhist practice, experiencing the unfindability of the one who thinks our thoughts is precisely the point of the whole enterprise, as our discovering that there is nothing to discover effortlessly releases us into the emptiness of our true nature. From the Buddhist point of view, recognizing that there is no thinker separate from the thought, which is to say that the thought thinks itself and is nothing other than what it is itself considered to be liberation. The empty nature of the psyche seems to mirror the empty nature of the quantum realm. To quote the Dalai Lama, "If you subject anything, space, time, matter, whatever you like, even the mind itself, to a certain type of close scrutiny, looking for its actual nature independent of other phenomena, it will dissolve under analysis every time you look for it. Then, if you agree that it is empty of inherent existence, and you try to seek out the very nature of that emptiness, the emptiness itself is not to be found." In other words, emptiness is itself empty of inherent existence. There is nothing there. It is not that in our analysis we find emptiness. On the contrary, we don't find anything, which is what is meant by the term emptiness. His Holiness comments, "Comprehending the reality of emptiness transforms the mind such that one's previous mistaken views are banished." In other words, realizing the empty nature of phenomena, be they outer or inner, transforms our mind. This realization frees our mind from its ingrained habitual tendency to ascribe definite, fixed, and objective attributes of either the inner or outer side of our experience as being real, existing independently on their own side. When our mind confronts the all-pervading reality of emptiness, it is emancipated from the core delusion that any independent, objective features of the world exist apart from the mind that is experiencing them. In addition to realizing the emptiness of the seemingly outer world, the mind can potentially self-reflect upon itself and realize that its nature is empty of features, attributes, and forms as well, thus completing the circle, realizing the empty nature of both matter and mind. His Holiness comments, "It's ironic that analysis approached purely from a physicist's point of view and confined to physical phenomena seems to reach a point where it may just be opening the door to Buddhist emptiness. To all appearances, it certainly seems like Buddhism and quantum physics are pointing at the same deeper mystery. To quote Wheeler, one has the feeling that the thinkers of the East knew it all, and if we could only translate their answers into our language, we would have the answers to all our questions. Oppenheimer opines that the discoveries in atomic physics are not in the nature of things wholly unfamiliar, wholly unheard of, or new. Mentioning the similarity to Buddhism, Oppenheimer feels that the insights in modern physics are a refinement of old wisdom. It's as if, with our advanced technology, quantum physics is translating the ancient intuitive wisdom of our ancestors into a modern scientific idiom. Schrödinger comments, "Our present way of thinking does need to be amended, perhaps by a bit of blood transfusion from Eastern thought." Make no mistake about it. Quantum physics is very much in agreement with the Buddhist notion of emptiness. We should be careful, however, in citing the insights of quantum physics, thinking that they prove the validity of the Eastern mystical traditions, in the same way we should avoid invoking the insights of the Eastern religions as evidence of the rightness of quantum physics. Unfortunately, many New Age guru types have jumped on the quantum bandwagon with various outlandish mystical claims based on their interpretation or misinterpretation of quantum physics. The undeniable similarity between quantum theory and Eastern spirituality should, however, warrant our highest attention, and hopefully it will inspire further research into their potential complementarity and/or sameness or lack thereof. Misunderstanding potentially arises when what are called parallels of identity, referring to the same object, are confused with parallels of analogy, referring to different domains of objects and different levels of reality. Many physicists, in justifying their denial of the connectedness between the new physics and the Eastern spiritual traditions, claim that their seeming similarities are simply parallels of analogy, not identity. On the other hand, commenting on the striking similarity of the views on reality in Buddhism and the new physics, philosopher Andrei Terentyev writes, "I'd like to stress that we are not just considering analogies in different fields of human endeavor. In fact, both Buddhist thinkers and modern physicists, using very different methods, arrived basically at the same description of the reality we live in." This is the point where the parallel worlds of Buddhism and physics unexpectedly touched each other, and the deeper meaning of this is yet to be appreciated by both parties. I like Terentyev's image of parallel worlds, which are supposed to never intersect, unexpectedly touching each other. The deeper meaning of their surprising meeting is still in the process of being decoded and unpacked by both Buddhists and physicists alike. In my ever-deepening studies of both disciplines, it certainly seems that in their striking similarities, we are not dealing with superficial analogies, but encountering fundamental truths concerning the very nature of reality, as if they are both describing identical realities. I have noticed that the typical physicist who disparages the similarity between physics and Buddhism always seems to have little to no experience in the Eastern contemplative traditions, while the ones who have actual experience in these spiritual practices are typically the ones who point out the similarity to the quantum gnosis. I am of the opinion that the listener should do their own empirical/experiential research and make up their mind for themselves. Here's my 2 cents. The revelations of quantum physics and the Buddhist psychometaphysical worldview certainly seem mutually consistent, coherent, and complementary. In fact, precisely so. To quote the Dalai Lama, "It can't be a pure coincidence that both science and Buddhism come to more or less the same conclusion on the nature of emptiness when taking physical objects as the focus of analysis." Buddhist psychometaphysicians pointed out the interconnectedness between apparently external objects and the mind of observers over 2,000 years before the discoveries of quantum physics. His Holiness comments, "I think Buddhist philosophy and quantum mechanics can shake hands on their view of the world." When Buddha realized the true nature of his mind, I find myself imagining that he had directly realized the quantum nature of reality. What I call our quantum nature and what is referred to as our Buddha nature are the same nature, at least in my imagination.